The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you currently unemployed or frustrated in your job search? Why? There are no excuses. You have the power to find a new career and to move into your new dream job. Welcome to Lynn Radice Live. Get a job, no excuses. Lynn and her guests will show you that there are plenty of job resources and pivotal people surrounding you to help you in your job search. Be different. Stand up. Stand out. Let's get hired. Here's your host, Lynn Radice.
Welcome back. This is Lynn Radice, and this is Lynn Radice Live. And we are headed fully into the holidays here. So I thought for fun, we'd do some fun careers, some holiday careers, careers that you can do part-time. Sometimes you can go into transition. Lots of different careers out there. So today, I'm very fortunate. We have John McNulty. And John McNulty is actually a wine guru. So for the holiday season, I thought this would be a great topic. John's motto is actually eat well and drink better. He has about 30 years of experience as a wine educator, and he's also done a radio show as well. He did On the Town with John McNulty. He's been through a Delaware Valley leader and wine educator, and he's actually done a lot of teaching over there at Temple University. He co-launched Corkscrewed of Cherry Hill, which is a wine specialty store, and we'll go in depth into that with him. And welcome aboard, and how are you today, John?
Well, I'm terrific. You know, my motto is also my lifestyle, so I've been doing it for longer than I care to count. And I backed into the wine business just because I had a passion for wine. I was a collector. I used to have an ad agency, and I used to go and visit a restaurant on a regular basis in a Philadelphia area called Manayunk. And the restaurant that I visited said, you know, you seem to know a lot about wine. Why don't you hang out when the wine salesmen come in, and you can help us buy the wine for the restaurant? And I said, well, that's a cool idea. I like that. And ultimately, Jamie's restaurant, I wound up representing them in the California Wine Wizards competition, which was a national competition back in, 1988. And I wound up being the national runner-up, even though I wasn't, quote-unquote, in the wine business. And that's what started me off on my wine career, because I then became an educator and then wound up owning my own wine shop for multiple years. And as you said, did a Food and Wine radio show that the Wine Enthusiast magazine said was the best radio show on wine east of Napa Valley. So for your listeners, think about that for a moment. That's a pretty large area.
I guess it would be, and a pretty big compliment. So,
my passion and my fun for it always showed through. It is a business. Everybody needs to make money, and that's why you get into business. But when you have a passion for something and it shows, the consumers recognize that, and they gravitate towards that.
And I think that's why I wanted to bring you on the show. I think that's very unique. I think a lot of people sometimes, you know, they don't think everything is possible and that they're kind of stuck in this dead-end career and they don't realize, well, gosh, you know, I happen to like wine and let's see if we can get a position in that. And even if they can't get a full-time position, well, maybe this can become a hobby that can become a full-time position. So I think it's very neat that, you know, you didn't just land in it, you didn't study it, that you actually, you know, made it happen. And
it was never my mission. You know, wine became a thing that was part of my life that I really enjoyed, but I never ever thought that I would be in the wine business per se. But that's like everything else I ever did. You know, I did, as a result, I wound up starting a franchise company for people who were jumping off of financial institutions and jumping out of banks and said, I love wine. I don't know anything about it, but John's got a franchise company and he seems to know and has a passion for it. Let's jump in there and see what we can do. And I opened 50 stores in 28 states in the early 2000s for a wine franchise company because they knew that I had this passion and they said, okay, this guy knows something. Let's jump on here. Unfortunately, after 2008, a lot of them were in areas where the real estate market just imploded and they're no longer in business.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I know you've also done some creative things with your background. So you actually have a wine club, or you were a director of a wine club, also the Academy of Hospitality. And so, you know, once again, you've done, you know, everything from the, kind of the teaching side to the business side to, the, as you mentioned, the collecting side. And so whether, you know, your passion would be, you know, a gym membership, working out or whatever, that you can really take a passion and make a career. But you've done many different facets within the wine avenues as well. So, you know, if you could talk to us a little bit about those avenues as far as, you know, your wine clubs that you belong to and also, I guess, the Academy of Hospitality.
Yeah, for me, the Academy of Hospitality was born out of need. It appeared to us that everybody was focusing on the back of the house at the time, which meant chefs, training chefs, educating chefs, developing chefs to cook. But nobody was focusing on the front of the house, where, if you think about it, the American consumer really doesn't know great food from mediocre food to bad food, witnessed by the fact that they eat so much bad food at fast food places. But they do know about service. They're all experts on service. And yet that was an area that seem to be lacking in terms of training and education. You know, whether it's the CIA or any other culinary institution, they really do focus on the back of the house and not the front of the house. So one of the things I did is I got together with the mayor of Philadelphia and all of the top chefs and restaurant owners and said, we need to police ourselves. We need to develop a training that will get people who can work in the front of the house, who know service, who you feel when they graduate, you could say, yeah, I can hire this guy because he went through a very specific training program that focuses on customer service.
No, I think it's a great concept and super idea. And obviously, you're correct. Everybody remembers the experience that they had, you know, with a bad waiter or waitress or a bad host or hostess. You know, it just is something that everyone kind of is ingrained in, and it really builds your experience with that restaurant. So I think it's important, especially if you're dealing in fine dining, you are highly, you know, I mean, people want their service. So that's very, very important.
Well,
I think
how many of us have been at a table where they say, how you guys doing? My name is Jim. I'll be your server tonight. Do you feel like that's a fine dining experience? No. You know, so there are certain things that need to happen so that the customer feels that they're in a place worthy of the price tag that's being charged.
No, you know, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense.
I laugh all the time because, you know, I've been in sales all my life. You know, I've done a lot of things, broadcast advertising sales. I had my own ad agency. I sold advertising for my own radio show. You know, and the one thing that's lost sometimes is the customer. You've got to keep the customer in focus. Is the customer always right? Nah, not always right. But within reason, you've got to treat the customer as if they are always right. And that's one of the things that I don't see coming up with people who are in the job market, who are looking for positions. They have their own attitude, which is counterintuitive to what they need to have if they want to be in the service industry. They need to be a little bit. And I work with people like this. It does drive me nuts when owners of companies don't think about the customer as the boss. They're the ones who are giving the money, you know, and they're the ones who enable all the jobs. So if you don't handle the customer or treat the customer with respect and treat them as they are intelligent and knowing, then you are not going to get repeat business and your business is going to suffer as a result.
No, and that's exactly, I think that's the exact same thing that I believe. I think that the customers are very important, and obviously that is what holds all of our jobs, whether that would be, you know, you're independent or whether you're working for a corporation, et cetera. You're correct in that, you know, the customer is the direct line to our jobs, and I think that's important to remember. You can feel free to give us a call today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. You can be anonymous. I know people with their jobs are a little worried that sometimes you don't want to bring up their name or you don't want to bring up a company. So feel free to be anonymous as well. And we have a bunch of emails that we're getting through. So we have a ton of emails here. You can feel free to email me as well at lynnredicelive@gmail.com. So we have a ton of questions, and we're, you know, here and we're chatting with John McNulty. We're having our wine show here. We're talking about the industry behind the wine and obviously, you know, different careers that you can go into and motivate yourself and get out there and get a job. You know, he's been able to change, you know, careers a couple different times within a couple different industries. And once again, that's why I wanted to have him here on the show with us. So we will be going to break in a little bit, but I just wanted to, you know, reach out and say, you know, once again, feel free to give us a call. We're right here at 1-866-472-5790. John McNulty is a great person to get to know. He's done a lot of things with many different industries specific to wine. And once again, feel free to, you know, we'll get to hopefully a lot of these emails done when we get back, but we will be going to break shortly. And we'll be right back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of NewTek, the Small Business Authority. As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on NewTek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 855-2-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What do business and sports have in common? Both are based on competition, and the goal of each is the same, to win. If you're in business, you need an edge over your competitors. You need to innovate and improve. You need to make adjustments to stay ahead of your competition. Tune in to The Business Locker Room with Kelly Riggs. Get the playbook and the coaching you need to improve your business performance. The Business Locker Room airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Lynn Radice, and this is Lynn Radice Live. Today, we are very fortunate. We have John McNulty, a wine guru, with us. And John's motto is eat well and drink better. So it's been a lot of fun. We're going through, you know, his background. He is a little unique in that he didn't come out studying about wine or going to university for wine school or those types of things, but really tripped into the business and kind of talking about the behind the scenes, as well as how successful he was in doing many different startups within the wine business. So thank you very much for joining joining us again. And once again, we have tons of emails we'll be getting to. But welcome back, John. And John, if you can talk to us a little bit. I know you mentioned you're calling from somewhere. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from a really unique spot in Atlantic City. Atlantic City is going through its troubles, as everyone knows, vis-a-vis the casinos. But here's a hot little spot called Atlantic City Bottle Company and the Iron Room, which has gotten glowing reviews from just about anyone who's ever visited here. It's almost reminds you of a speakeasy. There's a retail wine shop in the front half of this location, and then there's a restaurant in the back half. And the restaurant has an incredible selection of scotches, every kind of liquor that you would imagine, as well as wine and craft beer. So it really is, the retail store, relative to the giant discounters that we all know and see around the country, this is a boutique wine shop. But everything is hand-selected, pretty much in the order of what my business used to be, and the restaurant is fun. And I had a charcuterie plate earlier this evening, which was to die for, great pate and all that jazz, and a selection of craft beers on tap and amazing wines by the glass. So it's the kind of destination that people should be seeking out as opposed to going to TGI Fridays. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend TGI Fridays, but, if you're looking for good wine, it ain't there.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It sounds like an interesting place to visit. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And as I said, my goal here was to show people that I guess their dream can be possible and any of their passions that they can work it into a business. And they really have to think outside the box. So we all sometimes step back and we get so used to applying online and applying in our own fields and applying in our own industries, we kind of forget what we love to do. And, for you, you happen to like wine and then you basically went at it and you formed wine businesses and then you did the franchise in wine. So, and as you mentioned, there are, some hardships as well. So, as far as restaurants that you prefer, I mean, to do wine pairings and things like that, are there certain restaurants in the local area, certain restaurants that you would prefer to do, say, wine pairings or things like that? Or did you do that in your business?
In my business, people would ask me always, am I a sommelier? No, I wouldn't presume, nor do I pretend to be a sommelier. A sommelier is someone who goes through a specific training. This is accreditation, just like Master of Wine is accreditation. It's like going to college. But I have trained people who have gone on to be sommeliers. I've trained people who have gone on to be Masters of Wine. I was instrumental in the early stages of their development. And for me, that's what I want to do. I want to grab the novice. I want to get them when they're young and fresh and get that enthusiasm going. There's no such thing as a wine expert, despite what you might read or hear. We're all novices. With all the new wines that are released every year, it's impossible to be 100% up on everything, no matter how much wine you taste or how much data you read. So as I joked with all of my students, I'm just a million bottles ahead of you. You could catch up, quit your day job, and you can catch up to me.
But right, exactly.
The whole point here is that if you have a passion for it, the only way to go about it realistically is to start getting out there and putting yourself out there in the wine field. If you know a wine bar, if you know a wine person, hang out with them. Try to find out where they're going, what they're tasting, what wineries they represent, or what tastings that restaurant or wine bar is having. And go there and try the stuff. What happens is, once your palate becomes a little more educated and a little more sophisticated, and I don't mean sophisticated in a snobbish way, I mean just the fact that you're comfortable with what you know and what should be and what things should be. Because a Sauvignon Blanc that's correct is a Sauvignon Blanc that's correct. A Sauvignon Blanc that's a little bit esoteric, you have to tweak that and understand that that's esoteric, but you won't if you don't know what a correct Sauvignon Blanc should taste like. So most of the people who want to be in the wine business haven't had enough wine to really figure it out. They just haven't experimented enough. And that's really what it comes down to. Self-education in this industry is greatly rewarded by the people in the wine business. I know people who were just bartenders, just servers, when I met them 20 years ago. And they are now representing wineries. They are in wine companies because they decided that this was a business where they could have fun and make money. And yes, there is money to be made. There's not a ton of money to be made in the wine business, probably more money to be made in the spirits industry, but you can have a lot of fun. You can meet a lot of great people, and it's like most sales industries, it's a young people's business, but us old dogs still have fun too.
Now, I guess that is a question. You know, obviously there's wine distributors like yourself, and then there is the ability to buy online or at auction, and obviously in your state stores and things. So, you know, there's so many different ways of purchasing it. Is that why you say that, you know, obviously you're not making as much, you know, being a distributor or,
well,
you know?
The new trend in the industry, we have a couple of giant retail outlets who have figured out that the internet is going to generate a whole lot more business than their brick and mortar stores would ever generate. One of them is a company called Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO. And here's a guy who owns the Roger Wilco franchise in New Jersey, and he has a couple of stores that he owns outright as Roger Wilco and franchises the name to other retailers. But he came up with this. He basically took the Woot concept, and I'm sure all your listeners are familiar with Woot, W-O-O-T, and he took it and he made it into a wine concept. And then he went to wineries and said, I'm sure you have stuff that you either can't sell or you have too much of or that you really are not getting the number that you want. Let me see what I can do with it. And the guy has built an $80 million business solely online.
That's different, right? Exactly.
Solely online.
I mean, there's definitely different ways. Yeah. It seems so, like online, you know, I know a lot of...
The new age has generated a whole lot more wine jobs as a result of the new thinking about wine. Is there a lot of money in wine? You know, wineries, you know, wineries don't spend a lot of money in advertising unless you're a big company like Gallo or a couple of others. But the big thing is that everybody's trying to maneuver themselves for market position and market share, which is not unique in the world of business because everybody's doing that in every business. And what happens is if you're too small, you get bought out. If you're in the medium stage, you either grow or you sell. And every one of those instances offers opportunities for people to get into the wine business. But again, it comes back to you need to learn the product. You know, product knowledge can be taught. You know, we all know that. Whatever the product is, we can teach you about the product. But the problem with wine is it's so... It's like eating an elephant. It's so gigantic. People look at it and say, well, how can I know about wine? You're right, you can't, because there are a million new products every year. And, you know, every year, despite the fact that you might be at the tip of the sword in terms of knowledge and information, you still feel dumber because there's so much more that's come out that you don't know about.
And I guess as far as people that are, you know, there's all different levels of people interested in getting into wine. And some, as you mentioned, are, you know, basically, you know, college grads. And then some of them are definitely well-educated people. And some of them are kind of, you know, we're okay with box wine out of the fridge, right? So, I mean, there's so many different levels of wine out there. And there's
By the way, there's much more money in box wine out of the fridge
than there is in anything else.
So you never know where,
selling,
you know.
Unless you're selling first growth to China, there's a lot more money in box wine worldwide than there is in anything else, because the consumer is embracing, you know, if you think about it, everybody's talking about craft beer. You know that craft beer constitutes about 6% of total beer sales. Is it a hot and rising market? Yes. But when you think about the staggering numbers of beer sales in the United States alone, 6% is nothing. It's nada. And everybody's all excited about craft beer. But then Budweiser laughs all the way to the bank because, you know, Coors Light, Budweiser, all Samuel Adams, those are the guys who are making the big bucks.
Wow. How about as far as, you know, wine cellars? I mean, is it important that, you know, someone would have a wine cellar to be interested in wine, or can just the local, you know, person
not.
Go out and find out more about it?
As a matter of fact, in the United States, I think having a wine cellar is almost counterintuitive to the palate of Americans, because aging a wine, you know, and it's one question that I'm often asked when I do a wine tasting and I sample a wine to someone. They look at me and they say, is this wine going to be better in 10 years or not? And I said, not. It's going to be different in 10 years. And it's up to you to decide whether that difference is on the positive or the negative. And for most American consumers, the difference is going to be a negative. They like the flavor of fresh young fruit as opposed to, well, they like the flavor of plums as opposed to prunes. And
that's an interesting concept. I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's been my experience, but it's an interesting concept. You know, I tend to prefer the older, but that's a very interesting concept that you say the general.
We tend to be a little more. We tend to gravitate a little more towards the European palate on the East Coast of the United States, whereas on the West Coast, forget about it. You give them an aged Bordeaux that all of us on the East Coast would genuflect in front of. They're out there saying, this is old, this is dead, I don't want this. And that's a cultural thing, but generally the average American consumer does not like aged, does not prefer the flavors of aged wine to the flavors of young wine. And if we look at the statistics again, we look at the fact that 99% of the wine consumed was purchased within 24 hours. I always joke that.
I apologize, John. I apologize. We are going to be going to a commercial in a little bit. Okay. We will come back and talk more about this and, you know, our contrary opinions on different things. It'll be fun. But welcome, and we will definitely follow back up. We'll be going to commercial. Feel free to give us a call back at 1-866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. And we'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of Newtek, the Small Business Authority. As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on Newtek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 855-2-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. This is Lynn Radice, and this is Lynn Radice Live. We've had a fun job challenge today. We're looking into the wine business and the wine industry. I really wanted to have a show where we could show people that, yeah, if you had a passion, that you could actually develop a business out of that passion. And John McNulty actually has done that in many different ways. John, if you have not had a chance to, you know, listen to some of the show, he's actually a wine guru, and his motto is eat well, drink better. He actually launched a bunch of stores and a national wine concept back in 2004 called Vino 100. And the retailer built up to about 50 stores, and also founder of a bunch of wine clubs, and also is just very much, I guess, a wine enthusiast. But we were talking about, right before the break, we were talking about just different palettes of wine. My exposure has always been that, the older wines, and it seems to be that, you know, people tend to trend towards that. And he was suggesting that, obviously some of the American palate is a little bit different. So, you know, just very interesting being from kind of the back end side of the business. And as you said, you know, it's just, you know, you are definitely the business person in the wines. So you're not, you know, going out there and constantly doing all the wine pairings and all of that. So I think it's important that people understand that you're definitely the business side of the wine, but just your experiences. So thank you once again, and welcome back. And so, John, I mean, we have a bunch of questions here, so I figure we'll get to some of those. You know, are you, they're asking for, are there any holiday functions or parties? You know, do you have those on your website? You know, is that something that you do?
There should be. I always try to eliminate the sommelier 911. We go about it the wrong way. There should be no such thing as a wine emergency.
Exactly.
There really isn't. I mean, one of the things that we do is we do it backwards. We think about what we want to make as a dish, as a food, as an entree, as a dinner party, and then we say, "Well, how can we plug in the wine?" The truth is, cooking and preparing food is all about maneuvering the food in a direction. You know, if you know a wine and you love a wine, then you know its flavors. If you know those flavors, you can maneuver any dish. I don't care if it's fish, fowl, or meat. You can maneuver that protein, that dish, in the direction of your wine, as opposed to saying, I made this, now what wine do I need to go? And of course, I'm putting a lot of sommeliers and wine geeks out of business by saying this, but we're going about it all backwards. And, you know, it's silly. And the other thing that drives me nuts is when we think about what we prepare as food, we all think local, think globally, buy locally. We don't do that with wine. We think about our local winery as, that can't be good. That can't be good. It's around the corner from me. It can't be good. Well, guess what? Local wines are growing, and in quality and in terms of size throughout this nation. The last state to get a bonded local winery, I believe, was North Dakota. So we have wine in all 50 states, and some of it is pretty damn good. Yet, people say, whatever part of the country they're in, they're buying local produce and local game, and then buying imported wines, wines from California, wines from France, wines from Australia, wines from Spain. And yet, maybe there's an answer right around the corner. And while I'm not saying that those wines are as good as some of these internationally known wineries from other countries, they're worth a shot to take a look at, because these people are working hard. They're local artisans who are trying to create products that compete on a global level. And that's an amazing thing. And to ignore them completely is a sad thing. When you're buying the lettuce and tomatoes and cabbage and or game that the farmers next door to this winery, and ignoring the winery, that's a shame. And I've seen it changing over the last 20 years for the better. And I think the new age sommeliers are to be credited for their thinking in that regard, to say, no, it's not just the French or California or Italian or Spanish thing. We have to think about what's available all over the world, including our own backyard.
That is very interesting. I know, you know, I'm from Pennsylvania, so, you know, there's Chad's Ford Winery. There's a lot of, you know, cute wineries, and you know, they do artwork, and they have a lot of nice hangouts and nice things to do. But you're correct. If I go into a wine store and I'm purchasing wine, it's not the first winery that I think of, right, to buy my wine from. So you're absolutely correct.
I agree. I used to have this argument with Eric Miller, who was the winemaker slash owner of Chad's Ford. He would say to me, my grapes don't know that they're growing in Pennsylvania. I said, that's true, Eric, and that's a credit to your winemaking ability. However, your consumers do. The people who go to the shelf and see your Chardonnay at $15.99 and see a French or California Chardonnay with a popular marketed brand at the same price point, they're sitting there saying, I'm not buying the Pennsylvania wine. Pennsylvania wine is great to send my Uncle Vito back to, you know, North Dakota with and say he bought a wine in Pennsylvania, but that's not what I'm putting on my table. And Eric was very aware of that. However, he also had to take pride in what he produced and say, this wine is priced at this point because of how we make it and what it costs us to make it at this quality level.
Well, that might be a new show for you, is going out and producing and a radio show for each local winery out there. I think that's a great point. I mean, you're right that everyone seems to buy local and go local, and, you know, people want jobs locally, et cetera. And then you're right, when we go for wine, not necessarily do we buy the one in our backyard. So is an interesting local push.
It used to be the same way with beer. Until craft beer came along and made its own niche, you know, people were buying, you know, they were either the domestic giants, the Budweiser, the Coors Light, whatever, or they were the imported giants, Amstel, Heineken, you know, Stella Artois. But that was the way they looked at it. Then along came this craft beer movement, which made people say, this guy makes, you know, 8 barrels or even brew houses, where, you know, nothing is actually sold outside other than at the brew house, and here we are. I mean, you've got this wonderful Dogfish Head in Delaware producing world-class beers that everybody recognizes to be some of the top beers in their classes. And there's this little place in Rehoboth Beach. And so it has changed the way everybody thinks about craft, about beer, because of craft. And I think the same is starting, even though it's slowly starting, in the world of wine relative to local wines, locally produced wines. So, and I'm encouraged by that. And I have to credit sommeliers at restaurants who, 15 years ago, you never saw Philadelphia, New Jersey wines on a wine list from anywhere from Scranton to Atlantic City. You didn't see them. They weren't there. They just weren't there. And the local sommeliers have said, no, these guys deserve a position on the menu. Just like
the local produce deserves a position on the menu. And you know, places like this place, the Iron Room Atlantic City Bottle Company, are doing just that. As a matter of fact, they're doing a Hawk Haven wine dinner tonight for 20 people. Hawk Haven Winery, which is a South Jersey winery, is sponsoring a wine dinner. Here they've got 22 people drinking Hawk Haven wines and eating the food, and the chef specifically crafted the meal to the wines as opposed to the opposite way. So they did it the right way. They tasted the wines. They say, oh, here's what we need to make with this, as opposed to saying, here's what we're making, shove in the wine.
No, I think that sounds great. Are there any books or blogs or magazines that, you know, people can keep current, or people that can are interested in getting into the field and changing careers?
There's a couple of things that if you want to be in the wine business, you need to look at these things. You need to look at winesearcher.com. Winesearcher.com will keep you abreast of what wines are hot, what wines are selling, what wines are important, and who has the best prices around the nation. Another great website for buying wine is Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO. WTSO offers items 3, 4, 5 times a day. And they say, look, we offer this at this price, which is greatly discounted relative to retail. But when it's gone, it's gone. So you either jump on or you don't jump on. In terms of finding wine jobs, there is winejobs.com. Winejobs.com is a great source for people who are looking for many different levels of entry into the wine business. Winejobs.com. It's part of winebusiness.com's website, but it's actually become its own entity as winejobs.com. And then last but not least, you need to get out and do your homework. You need to get out there. You know, in terms of wanting to be in the wine industry, you need to network. You need to go to wine tastings. You need to talk. You know, that's how I started. You know, I had an ad agency. You know, I was doing very well in my ad agency. I wasn't looking for another job. And I went to lunch every day at a restaurant in Manayunk, Pennsylvania. And the owners of the restaurant said, you know wine. We want you to come back.
I apologize, John. We will be going to another break coming up shortly. Okay. And when we come back, we'll talk more.
You did want me to number three.
Well, we'll come back and we'll talk more with John about, you know, his background and his experience with wine. And we look forward to coming right back. Thanks.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of Newtek, the Small Business Authority. As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on Newtek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 8552-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Does your business, like many, face obstacles to becoming successful? Would you love to have an open forum of entrepreneurial ideas and best practices brought to you each week? Tune in for The Second Stage with hosts Brendan Anderson and Jeffrey Kadlec. We'll spotlight entrepreneurs and growing companies that are creating a vibrant economic base, as well as addressing some of the obstacles that could be standing in the way of your success. Listen Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Lynn Radice, and this is Lynn Radice Live. This has been a fun holiday show. So we've been on the line here, and we've been on with John McNulty. He's actually a wine guru, and his motto is eat well, drink better. And he's been talking to us all about the behind-the-scenes business side of wine. And he had a passion for wine and has kind of built a career around it, which I thought was very creative and very innovative. And I thought that the audience should hear, you know, if you have a passion, sometimes you can actually build your career. And so he actually has done a lot of wine clubs and actually launched an entire franchise wine concept, had about 50 stores in about 24 states. And so we're talking now, and we've been talking about different restaurants we should be going to and different things that we should be doing and our palates, etc. And so, John, we have a couple more emails here. I know we just touched on as far as books, blogs, magazines, how we can get involved. But, you know, they're talking about, you know, house wines, I guess. What is your favorite house wine? One of the questions, one of the callers, one of the Gmails I have here says, what is your favorite house wine that's affordable to most?
Yeah. Well, I have a problem with house wines in its concept entirely. If you think about it on premise, the house wine is called Chateau Cashflow. So if you're just ordering the Chardonnay or the Pinot Grigio or the Pinot Noir, the house is reaching for the wine where they make the most profit, the giant markup. If you say, what Pinot Grigios do you have? What Chardonnays do you have? What Pinot Noirs do you have? And they give you some options with price points as well. You're probably jumping up double, triple, quadruple in quality without jumping up double, triple, quadruple in price. And that's because the bottom feeders get killed in the world of wine. So when you're ordering the house anything, be careful. Make sure that you don't say, I'll have a glass of Chardonnay, I'll have a glass of Pinot Grigio, because you're going to get killed relative to that bottle price and the quality of the wine that you're actually ordering.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I certainly do. We appreciate, you know, all of your feedback and all of, your experience today. I certainly do appreciate you coming in. I know that, this has been a great show. I think all of your experience on all of all the wine experience that you've given us has been wonderful. I know it looks like we may be going to a break at this time. But I just wanted to, you know, follow up and say thank you very much for coming in. And we certainly do appreciate that. I know, and as far as I guess next week's show, we're going to have another fun show as we head into the holidays. I think, you know, we're going to have a job challenge of the day. We're going to have a lot going on. Feel free to give us a call at 1-866-472-5790. Feel free to keep emailing us. We have a ton of email questions that we haven't even been able to a chance to get to. At lynnradicelive@gmail.com. We could follow up offline with you guys. I know it sounds like we're having a little bit of a technical challenge, but feel free, lynnradicelive@gmail.com. We can go through and definitely email you back as well for additional questions on this topic. It sounds like a lot of people have had a lot of great questions, a lot of great comments about, you know, the wine industry and how they can get into it, et cetera, et cetera. So once again, John, thank you so much for jumping on tonight. We certainly do appreciate it. I think we're going to book out here soon, and we will be back next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Lynn Radice Live. Lynn will be back next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. We hope you'll join us then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.